Hello and welcome to this week's International Media with me, Claire Broadhurst. Today we'll talk about Attack on the Press 2017, the yearly report put out by the Committee to Protect Journalists. But first, here in France, TV presenter Cyril Hanouna's name has been on everyone's lips because of an on-air prank in which he humiliated a gay man on live television. Hanouna is not new to scandals. This is just the latest. His show has been the subject of complaints about sexism and homophobia before. This time, LGBT campaigners say one of the victims was left in a state of appalling distress. Ingrid Thurwath, a journalist for the weekly Courrier International and a member of the LGBT Journalists Association, says Hanouna's show sends the wrong message.
That homophobia is funny, that you can joke with people's lives and sexual orientations. Discrimination on the basis of gender or sexual orientation is a punishable offense under French law, and this is something he has complete disregard for. He sends the message that bullying is okay, which is particularly dangerous because his audience consists mostly of very young people. A lot of teenagers watch his shows, so he perpetuates a culture of bullying and homophobia, starting in school, really.
Thurwath says the LGBT Journalists Association has recorded a large number of inappropriate remarks and comments made during the show.
The AGL, the French LGBT Journalists Association, 6 months ago decided to spend an entire month watching all of Hanouna's shows and list all the homophobic and sexist allusion, references, remarks. So we did that on the month of November, and we listed 42 references to homosexuality. All of them derogatory. Half of those references were made under the guise of being a joke, which is kind of sick. And in addition to these 42 occurrences, we noticed 20 sexist remarks. So that's a lot. And the CSI gets numerous calls and letters from the audience asking for the withdrawal of Hanouna. But it's not happened yet.
She says they're waiting for the public regulation authorities' reaction.
They've received more than 20,000 complaints, probably more by the time this show will be aired. And we're all waiting to see what's going to happen. The CSS said they're starting a process to do something about it. Let's see how it ends. So far, what they've done is just telling Hanouna off, basically, just telling off. We assume they have the power to actually ask for his suspension, or even they could legally go as far as suspend the channel for a day or a longer period, or just prevent it from being aired. They could do that. That would be the most drastic measure, I suppose. The other aspect is that a lot of the companies that were placing advertisements in Hanouna's shows have withdrawn their advertisements, resulting in a considerable profit loss for the channel. So we're also seeing how that unfolds, and we're, I think, all hoping that those brands are not going to reintroduce their ads after the scandal washes over.
And for Thurwath, the fact that, for now, the sanction has only been financial is unacceptable.
What's really shocking in this whole Hanouna story is that the public regulation authority seems to be not doing much, and the real actors, the real people who are actually doing something about it, are not the state, but are brands, the companies, there's the private sector, who are acting, and the sanction is financial. They are withdrawing the ads, they are costing the channel an enormous amount of money, and this is what's happening. But so far, there have been no legal consequences. And the new Minister of Culture took probably a few days too long to react. Well, she's new, of course, but the Public Regulation Authority hasn't done much yet. It's taking a long time, and private companies were quite quick to react, not because they are not homophobic, not because they particularly care, just because it could have given them a very bad image, and they care so much about their reputation that investing on Hanouna's show has become quite dangerous, quite a bit of a hot potato.
Bullying disabled people, humiliating routines, and dodgy behavior. These are just a few of Hanouna's favorite things, and despite the numerous complaints, he's still on air every night. To the CPJ now. Their Attack on the Press report this year revisits journalism's new challenges. For example, how governments and non-state actors find innovative ways to suppress the media. Courtney Rutsch is the CPJ's advocacy director. She says that while new technologies and new information tools were supposed to open up and free the press, they're actually being used in a sophisticated way against the journalists.
There is no longer a gap between kind of where journalists and activists are in their use of new media technologies, ICTs, and social media. And so actually governments have become incredibly sophisticated and, you know, rapid in their response to how they can use and manipulate these technologies. And I think that stands out because what we saw several years ago is that in many countries, there was often a lag time between the time that, you know, governments or state entities would figure out how to use this online space or non-state actors, right? So there was kind of more of a learning curve. And now I think that we see, you know, both state and non-state actors are using these technologies in very sophisticated ways, just as journalists are, but this has meant that they can engage in more sophisticated forms of censorship, propaganda wars, you know, the weaponization of information, threatening and attacking journalists online, which, you know, our research shows that digital attacks have physical ramifications, and, you know, both physical and digital security are interrelated with each other.
She says that the CPJ is deeply concerned about the attitude of governments around the world.
What we're seeing is a real deterioration in the status of press freedom and the role of journalism in democracy and governance around the world. And so we see, you know, vitriolic and hyperbolic rhetoric around the world, the labeling of, you know, journalists as enemies of the state, tarring them with labels like fake news, which we're seeing again around the world, both in democracies as well as in countries that are happy to use that rhetoric as an excuse for their existing censorial practices or their existing repression of journalists. And, you know, so we've seen, for example, President Trump in the United States pillory journalists and attack individual journalists and media outlets by name. But these are rhetorical. But what we see is that this is then extending into other countries. So, for example, in Cambodia, other parts of Southeast Asia, in Egypt, in Russia, where, you know, this idea of pillorying journalists with the label fake news or undermining the role of the press as an important actor in good governance, or, you know, dismissing the rights of journalists to cover public functions and using the fig leaf of what's happening in America as an excuse, is something that we are also, you know, really concerned about.
Rutsch says the CPJ will keep an eye on some of the most worrying countries.
We see countries, for example, like Egypt, which has just experienced extraordinary backsliding in the past few years under President el-Sisi, whereas, you know, it used to, under Mubarak, actually, there were typically no journalists in jail or murdered for their work. We've seen that Egypt has had the dubious honor of being at the top of the list of countries that jail journalists. Turkey, deeply concerning, an ostensible democracy, and we're seeing that Turkey has imprisoned more journalists than we've ever recorded by a single country and was accountable for a full third of the 259 journalists we had recorded in prison in our census last year, which was a record number in and of itself. So, you know, things are deteriorating, and we're seeing, you know, countries that appeared to be democracies or have democratic momentum backsliding.
She explains what she hopes not to see in the coming years.
What I hope we don't see is a rise in the use of this idea of fake news, which has become a catch-all term but includes news that people don't like, as an excuse to further repress and invalidate the press and journalism. Last year, our prison census showed that we had 9 journalists around the world imprisoned on false news charges. I hope we don't see a rise in this. I hope that we don't see any more advanced sophistication in the use of digital threats and attacks against journalists and media outlets. But unfortunately, I don't think I'm very hopeful about that. I think that's probably a trend we will see continue.
Investigating wrongdoing, holding power accountable, enabling decent government, defending basic rights. She says these are among the key challenges journalists around the world will have to face in the coming years.